to be a part of this special meeting. Brother Garrett and Pastor saw me, I think back in April, we were at our preaching conference, and we just kind of got talking about it. And it's hard to, I think a couple weeks ago, they're like, it's here. I'm like, it's here, right? And so time just flies when you're having fun, and when you're not having fun, it just keeps on going. I'm blessed to have Richard. Richard's 20 years old. He started riding our church bus when he was 10, I believe. And not that long ago, he got saved and baptized. And so he's part of our bus discipleship program. And then Dawson's been coming pretty much since he was a little guy from LaPorte, Indiana. And Lord's just allowed him to take the next step. He's been in our Christian school for a couple years as well. His sister just came to our college this year, just moved into the dormitory. So God will use the bus ministry. Don't let the devil tell you that it doesn't work. The bus ministry doesn't work when we stop working. And so if we stop and think of the success rate, it's probably not very high, but there's still success. You know, you can look at Christian schools and you can say, well, they're not successful. We don't shut those down normally, or we don't shut a church down because somebody left the church. So let me encourage you, church, keep up the giving and the care for those in the community around you. We need Jesus. We need Jesus in their hearts and lives. So 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to give you just a word of encouragement. Even this afternoon is more of an encouragement from God's Word. I know it's, some of you put a lot of hours in yesterday. Thank you for the time you put in yesterday and even this morning jumping on the bus route. I know all about, I've kind of felt lazy this morning as I was in the room and they were out on the bus and picking kids up for Sunday school. But hopefully we can just be encouraged by God's Word. All right? Let's pray and then we'll get into the Word of God this morning. Lord, it's a joy to be in your house. It's the Lord's Day, and many people have forgotten that. But we're here. And it'd be a terrible thing if we didn't hear from you this morning. If these folks heard from me, it'd be kind of a waste of their time. But if they heard from the Bible this morning and heard your word speak to them, it'd make their day worthwhile coming to church. Thank you for the work and the effort that's gone behind the scenes leading up to today. Thank you for the work yesterday. People sweeping and cleaning and just getting the baskets to get all these different things that have been going on. And I thank you for the boys and girls and even the parents that came out for the first time today. What a blessing that is. And I pray that they might be extra blessed by listening to you and maybe making a decision for you this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to come down here, I think, with the kids. It's going to help me out, keep this guy awake today, all right? One of the most disappointing things for me after having been in ministry just 20-some years is when people quit. It's disappointing. I have this list. My guys will recognize this. We have our Saturday teen discipleship program. About 25, 30 kids on my list. And every time we meet, I update the list. New date, new people, so forth. But I really don't like when I take the list and have to take names off. It really breaks my heart because I really want these young men and young ladies to keep on going for the Lord. And I've come to understand it is easy for us to sing songs like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, but Brother Garrett, I've come to understand it's pretty easy to sing, but it's pretty hard to live. And I find a lot of young people in tough situations. I don't know these guys that well. Some I just met yesterday, some today. I don't know their situations, but I think down deep in most people, they want to do well. They want to have a good life. And they, here today, they're in church, and man, I want to learn something. I want to move ahead for God. That's commendable, but that doesn't mean just because you start that you're going to finish. It disturbs me after having been in the same church for 45 years. Guys that used to come and preach at our church, and I'd sit there and people like, wow, those guys can preach. And I'd sit there and be a little jealous of how well they can put a sermon together and have outlines. And I'm like, Lord, how come you didn't give me those genes of preaching? But then I sometimes might say, Pastor, where's so-and-so? And he may kind of hang his head and say, well, he's not preaching anymore. You know what that is? That's disappointing. Probably the most important words in the Scriptures are found when Jesus hung on the cross. He said these three words, "It is finished." Aren't you glad that Jesus finished the task? Can you imagine if you got halfway up the hill? He already knew people were going to reject Him. He already knew people were going to make fun of Him. He already knew that His disciples would forsake Him. But I'm so glad that He continued up that hill, Golgotha, and finished the work. Paul writes in this second letter to Timothy, we call him his son in the faith, and Paul writes an encouragement for him. We're going to look at this today, chapter 2, verses number 1 through 4. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Are you there? Everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this in verse number 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Verse number 3, there's one word I'd like to just bring out today, and it's this idea of endure, or press on, or continue, or to finish. At the end of this letter to Timothy, Paul writes this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Michael, how old are you? Michael's 11 years old. I just met Michael this morning. But you know, it would be a wonderful thing if Michael started something today and he just kept on coming to church. And he just kept on coming to church. And he just kept on coming to church. But there's a lot of people that say, "Bless God, I'm going to start," but they never finish. I've been working in the Bible college world a long time. We get guys to come and say, "I'm called to preach. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a Christian school teacher." And they have zeal, and they have excitement, and they have energy. And you're like, wow, they're going to really go places. And then they disappear. Like, where'd they go? But can I say this? If you're going to continue on, there's some things that you need to have in your life that are going to help you to continue. So we're going to talk about endurance today. Chapter 2 is a fun chapter. We're not going to go through the whole chapter, but it's kind of like Paul gives these pictures of the Christian. Verse number 1, he talks about a son. Can I say this? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on the most important relationship in your life. This year, my family sat down. I have 4 children. And we sat down, we talked about relationships. So from January to May, every week we worked on relationships. I came to, Brother Jacob, I came to figure out I'm in 17 different relationships. And I've come to understand that relationships take work. Yeah. Brother Garrett and his wife just got married. And they're like, "Oh, it's so special." Week and a half, right? Week and a half, they've been married. I got to turn my head sometimes like, "Oh boy, what are they doing now?" But man, how special would it be 50, 60, 70 years? They're just still at it because they made a commitment to say, "We're going to stick together through thick and thin, through sickness and in health." And you and I know it's easy to make a commitment to pass the ring, but I tell you what, you and I know there's battles that are going to take place. There's going to be confrontations and conflicts and all that good stuff, and we've been married about 23 years next year. Man, it's exciting, but it hasn't always been exciting. But there's a lot of people that start. But this relationship, can I say this? Paul writes to his son Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son." You know, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says this, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power," help me out, "to become the sons of God." When you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. That's pretty awesome. I've got a great dad. He wasn't a Christian until I was 18 years old, but he was a good dad. He was faithful to my mom. He worked at the steel mill, put me in a Christian school, taught me as an unsaved man how to tithe, taught me as an unsaved man how to go to church work parties, taught me a lot of things as an unsaved man. He was a good man. I had a great earthly father, but watch me. I have an even greater heavenly father. The day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a 12-year-old boy, He came into my heart, washed away my sins, and 33 years ago, I became a son of God. Wow, that's pretty good stuff. I can pray to my Heavenly Father all day long. The Christian life is pictured as a son, as a relationship. Verse 6 talks about the Christian as a farmer. Verse 15, the Christian as a student. Verse 24, the Christian as a servant. Verses 19 to 20, the Christian as a building, if you will, or as a structure. But today our focus is on the Christian as a soldier. Now, I don't know if any of you served in our military. I've got one there. Anybody else? All right, so two. It's a little bit of a disconnect for me because I've never served in the military. Now, I've been enamored by the uniforms. I've been enamored by what they can do. But for me to understand, these two men would understand what it means to be a soldier. And to be a soldier, and it is necessary to continue on in the battle. You can't just say, well, I think I'm going to show up today, but tomorrow I'm going to take the day off. Now, when it comes to battle, and my friends, we're in a battle. We can't take the day off. The devil doesn't take days off. He's going to get. If Dawson takes the day off today, the devil's not going to. The devil's going to get him. And just like he's going to do the same for us. I love sports. And being involved in sports teaches me a lot of things, specifically the sport of wrestling. And our boys wrestle at the Christian school, and Dawson started wrestling last year for the first time, and we'd be up in the gym, and it was like get on the line and push-ups and leg lifts and sit-ups and all those things that Dawson's body doesn't like to do. And sometimes he'll say, "All right, we're going to do these sprints," and he's back and forth, and he's the only. And what do we say? Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's keep on going because we know there's a match about to take place, and they're going to get to the third period, and maybe they're going to get to overtime. You see both these boys walking around, and they're both out of gas, if you will. And this is what I often say: how much gas you got left in the tank? Because whoever has the endurance is going to come out on top. And so help us, Lord, help us understand this. Let me give you a couple things here. Number one, endurance. If you're going to continue on, if you're going to endure, number one, it takes strength. Now, right about now, the boys are like, yeah, I got it all. It's interesting, in verse number one, Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son," what are the next two words? Be strong. How old are you? Eight. There's going to come a day, if not already, where he's going to be worried about we call them pipes where I come from. Now, when our boys in our school, when they hit the seventh grade, they enter into our weightlifting program. And it's interesting. Jacob, do you like to lift weights? You say you like to lift your fork? No, sorry. This is what blows my mind. When you go to a gym, what's on the walls? Think about it. So when our boys, and in our gym, in our church, we have mirrors around the walls. So our boys will walk in and at 11, 12 years old, they're in the 7th grade, and they'll walk in, kind of, Nathan, your day's coming at some point, and they'll walk in, they'll get those 8-pound dumbbells. They'll grab them, they'll stand, look in the mirror, and they'll start doing this. And it doesn't take them long where the sleeves that were here start to get rolled up. And they start to look down with those 8-pound dumbbells, and all of a sudden this mosquito bite forms on their bicep. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm starting to get, here's the word, strong, buff, jacked, whatever you guys like to say. We'll just stick with the Bible word strong. But there's something physically, I think, and I know our world's changing, but there's something naturally in guys that they want to be, help me out, they want to be But you know, that's not the emphasis if you're going to continue on in life and just say, you know what? I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm just going to tough it out. I'm going to be strong. You know what? That's going to wear off pretty quick. What does Paul say to Timothy? He says, be strong. Help me out. Look down in your text, verse number 1. No, not in the Lord. In the grace. Now that's an important word because sometimes we get mercy and grace a little bit confused. I'd have to say I'm pretty strong in mercy because I need it a lot. I need it every morning. And the Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Now watch me. Here's the difference. I have a little 9-year-old girl and she's kind of cute. She's got these little chocolate chip eyes. And believe it or not, she doesn't always obey. So sometimes I'll say, Karis, take this book from point A to point B. And sometimes she ends up at point Z. That wasn't part of the plan, but that's where she ends up. And so sometimes I'll have to say, Karis, go to the room. We're going to have some fellowship time. So she'll go to the room, and we have our little routine. We give a little bit of discipline, as we talked about yesterday. Give a little discipline. And usually the tears start flowing down her face, and it's not a pleasant time for me or for her. There have been times, Brother Earl, right? Is it Brother Earl? Am I saying that? What's your name?
Fred.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Earl. Whatever. My bad. There have been times, Brother Fred, that Karis has walked in the room and God sometimes will speak to me and say, Eric, I show you mercy all the time. It'd be a good day to show her mercy. And I'll say, Karis, today is mercy day. And she'll kind of go from to... And she's probably thinking, mercy should be every day. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay? She deserved discipline. But mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. But here's the thing. Grace is different. Grace is me just walking up to her. And I like to do this. When we leave and I'm going to stop at a store and pick up all my kids something, pick up my wife something, and I just go home, you know, I'll tell you why. I go and give them something just because. Those are fun days, is to just go do things for my kids just because. That's grace. And Paul says to Timothy, be strong, look here, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, Brother Matt, what keeps me going? Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get down. Sometimes I get a little disappointed. And sometimes I just got to stop and dwell on the grace of God. You know, we've been running buses for years and for years and for years and for years. And I sometimes sit back and say, why in the world did God see fit to reach down and pluck the Ramos family out of all those families that have come to church, all those that have come and gone? For some reason, God has reached down and says, I'm gonna keep you in my fold. You know what that is? That is the grace of God. And that's what keeps me going. If I just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to tough it out. And I'm going to be strong. And I'm going to push myself. I'm all for pushing myself. I'm all for being strong. But I tell you what, that's not what's going to keep you going when things are going bad. We need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says it this way to the church at Corinth. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You know what we need to keep us going? We need God's grace. And grace is not just sitting at the table before you eat saying grace. Grace is going to God and saying, God, I need something from you today. And you know what? He's ready to give us things. Kids, look here. Look here. The world's going to offer you a whole bunch of junk. Look here. The devil's going to come and say, I've got this for you. I've got this for you. But there's a big price tag on that. But you know what God says? From salvation all the way through, I got something for you. And it doesn't cost you anything. That's what's pretty awesome. We go door knock and tell people, hey, you want to know you're going to heaven? They're like, yeah. What do I need to do? Nothing. And they're not interested. I don't get it. It's free, folks. But to go on in the Christian life, maybe you're from a divided home. Maybe you're from a bad situation. I don't know. You know what's going to keep you going? It's the grace of God. Very good. Endurance. is going to take strength in the grace of God. We talk about strength. How do we get strong? It's called repetition. We sing it for the kids, right? We didn't sing it today or yesterday, but here's a little song that goes like this. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Now watch me. If one of our young men goes into the workout room once a year and he sits down on the bench and he lifts up 500 pounds, everybody's like, whoa, but that's not really strength. But the guy that goes up there day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, it's called faithfulness. It's called building your strength. That's what's going to help you endure. You can't do this once in a while in church. You got to be in church all the time. Again, I'm 45. I've been going to the same church over and over. Sometimes my pastor get up and preach a message that I had the outline already in my Bible from when he preached it 4 or 5 years ago. It's easy for you to say, I don't need that. I can stay home. But can I say this? I'm standing in front of you as a witness. I need church. I need the Bible. I need God. I need prayer. I need what a church can give. That's what God's plan is for us, so that we can be strong. Endurance takes strength over and over and over. You watch people with their phones. They're unbelievable with their phones. They can carry on a conversation. They can cook. And they can text all at the same time. I'm still doing this. I have to talk all my texts because I can't type that fast. My wife's she's looking, doing this and that. How does that happen? How does... She was up there playing the piano, just smiling. I'm like, how many times have you played the piano over the years? Yeah, my daughters, the rule was when they started playing cello and clarinet, you cannot play when dad's home. There's reasons for that. Because when that cello starts out, oh man, Lord mercy, help us! Like, Carol, go to the other room, shut the door, put, you know, soundproof, extra. I could, but now, I'm not saying it's where it needs to be, but I can actually sit there and listen to her sing, play these songs. And Marissa plays the piano and on it. But it doesn't just happen. I'd be proof of that if I went there and started playing. You'd be like, get out of the house. You know how you get good at something? You just keep at it. You know how you be a good Christian? Watch me. You're like, I'm just not a good soul winner. I'm just not a good Christian. Well, how often do you do it? People want to come to church once in a while and they want to be a good Christian. It doesn't work. If you're going to stick with something, if you're going to endure, it takes strength. And strength comes from repetition. Number two, quickly. You're not going to like this one. But it's in the Bible. So endurance, number one, demands... Help me out. Let's try that again. Endurance demands... strength. Number two, endurance demands strictness. Strictness. Look at verse number two. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. You said you were in the military? When you entered the military, how did they greet you? Don't say anything. Did they ask you how you wanted your hair done? Yeah, they did. Yeah, they handed it to you. They gave you what to wear. Pretty much, is it safe to say, a GI stands for government issue? That means they owned you. For the next 4 years, they tell you where to go, what to do, when to get up, if you can get up, when to eat, where to... Right? So what happens is, to get these guys trained involves strictness. And that means his responsibility. His responsibility. When they said, go do this, they had to probably stand at attention and say, yes, sir. Now watch me close. I spent 3 different times this summer in Washington, D.C. 2 times I was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I like to be around our military. It's impressive. Now watch me. We like the product. Let me say that again. We like the product. But we sure don't like what it takes to get the product. We got a brand new baby back there, and I can just imagine what's going through their mind is, one day, this baby's going to be this, and this baby's going to grow up, and no doubt there's a desire that this baby's going to live for Jesus. And that ought to be the goal of every parent, by the way, that our kids live for Jesus. But you know, there's a lot going to happen from there to the result of this young person living for Jesus. Are you with me? And we sit back and say, man, I want a godly family and I want a godly spouse and I want to be a good Christian. But from here to there, there's a lot of stuff involved. And I'll say this, we like the product, but you can't have the product without the process. It's called strictness. So kids, look here. When mama says no, you ought to say, yes, ma'am. But mom, you're so mean, and you're so strict, and you're so nasty, and you're so this. You know what? They're doing it for your benefit. Now watch close.
My mom is so mean. She has all these rules.
You know, our prisons are bursting at the seams because people don't like rules. So what happens is, stay with me, this is for you guys, because it could come a point in time, and I've worked with a lot of kids that are in prison today because they don't like rules. Stay with me. And so these guys are like, I ain't following no rules. I hate this strict stuff. And watch what happens. The result is prison. And guess what the prison has? Rules. And I preach in the prisons, and I go, and there's guys from 20 years old to 70 years old. They're all in the same clothes. They're not even allowed sometimes to come to church because, you know what? They got to follow the rules. So watch me. The attitude of hating strictness leads to more strictness. The attitude of loving strictness results in freedom. So here's what it is. People say, you Christians can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And I used to think that, man, what is wrong with God? Why is He making my life so miserable? Stay with me. Is that me? Am I just, okay. Why is it? But man, I'm 45 now. Wow. My life is good. When I was dating my wife, we dated for 4 years. Watch me close. We never held hands. We never did a little smoochy smooch. Because my parents said, no, don't do it. We had chaperones. Ew. Now watch close. So for 4 years, we did it right. We did it God's way. And 20-some years later, guess what? We're still together. God's way works. All I'm saying is we want the product. People are like, oh, I want a good home. I want a godly home. I want to be a good Christian. But there's a lot involved from here. Watch, I'm almost done, kids. Look here. A lot involved from here to there. The process. Endurance takes strength. Endurance demands strictness. This idea, verse 2, listening. Verse number 2, learning. Verse number 4, let go of some things. You've got to loosen up on some things. But number 3, quickly, endurance indicates struggle. I think all of us want an easy life. I got a picture right here. Little guy I met 10 years ago. His name's Phoenix. Phoenix has cerebral palsy. Phoenix will never walk. But the happiest kid I know is right here. I was at his church in May preaching. Phoenix like, Brother Ramus, because he can't talk real well. Brother Ramus, I can write. I said, Phoenix, you can write? I want you to write me a letter. I told him, if you wrote me a letter, I'd keep it in my Bible. Here's the letter from Phoenix. He's 11 and a half years old. Brother Ramus, I am praying for your family and ministry, your friend, Phoenix. Man, when he handed me this note, I just wanted to cry. I sit, watch him as he's watching kids play, and I know what's going through his mind. Probably, I wish I can get out of my wheelchair. You know what Phoenix has to deal with? Struggle. And it breaks my heart to see a little guy just 11 years old never walk. Stay with me. Can I say this? The Christian life was never promised to be something that was easy. Ask Jesus Christ. Ask the disciples that had their heads severed from their shoulders. And we struggle because, he made fun of me. I said I was a Christian. And we're ready to quit. Something's wrong with me when I can't handle a little bit of struggle. You know, I've come to understand this. The harder the battle, the more sweet the victory. We played basketball in college. We didn't win very many games. There were some teams, it was pretty obvious we were going to beat them. And at the end of the day, we'd high five, we'd smile. But it really wasn't that thrilling and fulfilling. But when there was a team that beat us by 30, and 2 weeks later we beat them, and we had worked, and we had sweated a little bit harder, we trained a little bit more vigorous, and we beat them at the end of the day, it was kind of a little more sweet, was it not? I don't sit back and say, oh man, bless God, I'm so thankful that I've got overcoming alcohol. Well, I've never had a drop of alcohol in my life. It's not really a victory for me. But there are things in my life that we've been plugging away. Things with our children. Man, the last 3 years of our life with our kids have just been a battle. And we fall on our knees and say, God, I need help. And you know what? Now we're starting to see some victories. And it's really exciting. But endurance is going to come when there's a struggle involved. Young people, I'm going to warn you. If you're going to live for Jesus, there's going to be some struggles. You say, I'm just 8 years old. There's going to be some struggles. And for you, us old people, when you take a step for the Lord and you say, I want to serve the Lord, I'm going to make this decision, not just I have decided to follow Jesus, when you're ready to move ahead, can I say this? The struggle is coming. The devil is not liking what you're doing today for you to come out to church and bring your kids. He doesn't like that. He's going to fight you. And he's going to fight you. And he's going to fight me. And he's going to fight First Baptist Church. You know why? Because he doesn't want any good to proceed from these doors. And the little ones growing up. He's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. Be forewarned. And what we need is endurance. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You want the product, do you not? But can I tell you the process is going to be heavily involved. Pastor Fritz has been at this a long time. You've seen people come and you've seen people go. You try having 22 buses and trying to keep track of everybody that comes on the buses. You know what? People come and people go. It could be that Dawson says, hey, Pastor, where's Brother Ramus? And Pastor Dameron or whoever our pastor might be down the road might say, he stepped out of ministry. It happens all the time. My challenge is understanding if you're going to endure. Look here, Carol. Carol, this is for you. If you're going to endure, you need to be strong. Not, but in here. When men were starting out in ministry, Joshua by name, God says this, be strong and of a good courage. Not just physically, but inwardly. You need to be strong. And understand that strictness is not bad. Don't be upset when pastor says, you know what, we're going to tighten some things up in the standards in our church. You know what you ought to say? Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! What it's doing is protecting this church. Endurance demands strictness. And endurance tells us you're going to struggle. My challenge is, we need you to endure. The work here must go on, folks. I just finished reading Ezra and Nehemiah. And you know what? They were busy. The work got stopped. But there came a point where they said, the work must go on. And that's what this weekend's about. Right, Brother Garrett? You get frustrated. You get discouraged. But, you know, can I encourage you? The work must go on. Just keep at it. You guys pray for them. Give. Keep on plugging away because the work must go on. Young people, you say, I'm going to start coming to church. You know what you need to do? Keep on coming. And keep on coming. And the devil's going to say, hey, there's this going on, that going on, to keep you from coming. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to endure, you've got to keep on continuing in the battle. Are you with me? Is this helpful today?
Amen.
Let's endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed.